Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace. And tonight we are going to be talking about being afraid because I am afraid. I am. Sometimes I do get afraid. I try to carry myself in a positive way. I try to carry myself in, you know, because the reality of it is there are things in life that you can't change and you have to just accept. But sometimes those things are a little frightening when you don't know what the outcome of it is going to be. And I picked today's topic because for the past month, I've been going through some medical issues, and it seems like they're all like, you know, it started off something really simple with a little injury, and it escalated into something much more, and it seems to be snowballing. For those of you who don't know, I have an illness. It is called human T-cell lymphotropic virus 1, and for short, it's HTLV-1. And what this is a blood virus, and it can be it's acquired through breastfeeding your child or blood transfusion, or bodily fluids, sexually transmitted. I do not know how long I have had this disease, but it started manifesting itself, you know, somewhere around late 90s into 2000, you know, early 2000 or whatever. And what it does is it messes with your mobility, and it also sometimes some people develop a skin condition called cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. And I apologize. My phone, it cut off on me. I'm sorry. I'm back. But another condition that develops sometimes with HTLV-1 is cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. Now, this is a form of skin cancer, something that I have been living with for at least 20 years. And it's, you know, usually, you know, what how it has affected me is as like a rash sort of on my skin, a scaly rash in certain parts of my body that I've been able to keep under control with an ointment that they've given me. And, you know, they call it indolent or smoldering, where pretty much it's been there, but it hasn't been a big problem. And the way we decided to handle this is by, listen, don't get aggressive. If it's not getting aggressive with you, don't get aggressive with it. So recently I had what is called a PET scan because I started getting some, like, it looked like, I can't even explain what it is, but it's some abnormal things on my skin. And went to the doctor. We did what's called a PET scan. And it's, a PET scan is when they send you through, they scan my whole body and sent me through this scan. And they injected me with some type of dye or whatever so that, you know, problem areas can illuminate, sort of, basically, and a lot illuminated. And so it looks like the cancer is spreading and starting to go into my lymph nodes, which means it's starting to, you know, where before it was just, like, on the skin. This is as far as I understand it. I'm not giving you a professional medical breakdown of this. I'm giving you as far as I can understand it. So whereas the cancer has been pretty much just like on my skin, sitting there chilling, sort of. So now it's starting to, it looks like it's starting to go into my body, you know, like into the lymph nodes, and which would, you know, end up involving the bloodstream and the organs. So lately, you know, when I was in the hospital and was discharged, I found out that I have chronic kidney disease, stage 3A chronic kidney disease, which was a little worrisome for me. And so, you know, what you do, you start going on Google and you start looking things up. And for me, you know, it just like, I don't even know if that's a good idea for me to look on Google, because I start taking the worst case scenario, you know. And but what I'm starting to see is, you know, there are certain symptoms that kind of overlap. You know, like with the chronic kidney disease, I, you know, they mentioned something about itching and a rash. And then with this cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which sort of goes into another disease called Sézary syndrome, you get this itching. And specifically, the palms of your hands and the bottom of your feet, which I had got. And, you know, so I started reading about the Sézary syndrome. And then with the Sézary syndrome, you know, best case scenario, you know, you get kind of like 5 years. And, you know, so it's like, I'm like, oh, gosh, you know. And, you know, in the past, when I have Googled things, it's never ended up being the worst case scenario. Right? I'm sorry, let me backtrack. So the doctor told me all this information. And so what they have to do now is a biopsy of one of my lymph nodes. They have to go in and remove the lymph node and biopsy the lymph node. And, you know, he asked me if I would like to take part in a clinical trial with some medications. If you know, if it shows that, you know, the cancer is spreading and I qualify for this clinical trial, would I be interested in doing it? And I, you know, I pondered it. I wanted to know, of course, like with the medicines, are you trying out new medicines, which is not new medicines. These are medicines that have proven to be effective in this illness, but they're trying two medicines together now. And they want to see how patients can tolerate these two medicines together. I don't know if I want to do that. And, you know, I spoke with my family about it, spoke with my children. You know, one of them was like, oh, go ahead, try it. You know, the other one is like, don't let them try anything. So, you know, like you get this whole hodgepodge of opinions, you know, whatever. And ultimately, it is up to me what it is that I want to do. But it's just a little fearful for me, you know, because even though, like, when I look at death, right, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm saying. I know we all can't live forever, so I'm not, you know, people hate to talk about death. People hate for you to think about your own demise or whatever. But, look, the truth is we all have to go. We are all going to die eventually. And, you know, some die in their sleep, some die in accidents, some die of illnesses, whatever it is, we have to go. And I often think about, you know, my own death and not just associated with being ill, whatever. I can be an accessoride and, you know, well, what if this is my day? You know, whatever it is. But, you know, so it's not, and I've often thought about it because my parents died when I was young. So this has been something that's always been on my mind, and I'm not one who believes that, you know, I'm going to last forever. This death is real to me. You know, I had a friend who told me, it seems like you're living to die. And I don't think she meant it in a morbid way or like I'm depressing or anything like that, but my mind always went to, with my children, my mind always went to preparing them, you know, because my mom died when I was 14. And when she passed, there were a few unsavory things that happened to us, you know, from family members. So it was like, okay, you got to prepare your children in case you're not here. You know, if all else, and they need to rely on themselves, prepare them so they know how to handle life. You know, and my dad passed a couple of years later. You know, both my parents died before I was an adult. And, you know, I had a sister who was very capable, very very young. You know, she's just 16 months older than me or whatever. So she was just an adult. And we had to wheel and deal, you know, and we had to do it. So the reality of it happening, of me leaving here, you know, has always been on my mind, and I always felt like I had to prepare my children for that. So I think that's what she meant by, you know, I was living to die. But it's been on my mind a lot, and although in my stronger moments, you know, when I'm feeling fine, I feel very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's just a thought, you know, it doesn't really affect me emotionally. It's a fact of life. It is. It's going to happen, you know, ain't no big deal, whatever, you know. But now, you know, with facing illness and my grandchildren having to be hanging out with me for the summer, it becomes a very emotional thing for me, you know, and I'm trying not to be emotional about this. I mean, I've went through this before. When they told me I had the cutaneous T-cell lymphoma in the first place back in July of 2010, I was in a freaking daze that day. I was just walking around. You know, me and my walker, I would stop and sit just in the middle of the sidewalk. You know, so I was a mess. Because when, you know, they tell you you got the CTCL, and then they tell you it's a form of cancer, you know, all I thought, my mind says cancer, chemo, dead. Now, I saw my mother go through chemotherapy, and I see how miserable a thing it is. So I was just like, I was a mess. I really was a mess. And I ended up in therapy behind it, and really got very down and depressed, and all I saw was me dying and me having these young children. And it always seemed like it was, I always felt like when, you know, my mom died at the age of 36, so it always felt to me like I wasn't going to live past that age. And it wasn't anything I really would share with anybody, but one day I shared it with my brother. And, you know, I wouldn't share because I felt like it was ridiculous. And, but I felt it, you know. And so one day I shared it with my brother. And he was like, I understand what you mean, because my dad died at the age of 54. And my brother was feeling the same way, that he wouldn't live past that age either. So, you know, it wasn't a ridiculous thought, you know. But in any event, you know, like I said, I ended up being in therapy with a wonderful, wonderful psychiatrist. And, you know, we worked our way through. She's like, did somebody give you a death sentence as well? And I'm like, no, but she's like, so you coming up with this on your own? You know, and it's just like, it gets in your head. You know, it gets in your head, and you think about, I think about, it's not like being scared to die. I think about the things I would miss. You know, like, I talk to my grandson a lot, being a great man, you know, and don't, you know, to not let anything stop him from being a great man. He's a great kid, you know, and try and instill things in him that will help him through his life. You know, being a black man, being a black child, I'm about to call him a black man, but going to grow up and be a black man, there are things that he's going to face. And I don't want those things. I want him to be equipped to face those things. You know, having granddaughters. You know, I have two grandsons, actually. So what goes to him goes to his brother. But his brother's three, so we don't get to talk that much. And I have granddaughters, you know, and just trying to explain, you know, I tell my granddaughter all the time, because she's a beautiful little girl. You know what's more important than being pretty? Being a beautiful person, having a beautiful character, you know. And so, you know, just trying to instill these things in them and seeing all that my parents miss with my children. And the thought that I might miss, you know, these things with my, I mean, but I guess I won't be worried about it if I'm not here, right? But in any event, you know, this is what's been on my mind lately, and I haven't been able to think straight and get pull things together. I've been overlapping appointments, and just like my head has been everywhere, and I haven't been able to focus, and I'm trying to focus. And the reason why, it's like sometimes, like, Stephanie, why do you share things that are so personal? And to me, sharing is a powerful thing because there's somebody, you know, there's somebody out there who needs to hear what it is that I'm saying. Somebody's out there who's going through what I'm going through, who needs somebody to relate to, you know, or whatever, or just to know that it's not just them. You know, sometimes you have these thoughts that you feel, you know, this is a crazy thought, this is a silly thought, this is a stupid thought, but it's not. It's yours. It's a thought. It's valid. You know what I mean? But we're taught to not talk about certain things, or we're supposed to feel a certain way. You know, a lot of times I feel like I don't want to share things because I don't like to put my burden on other people. So it's like, how you doing, Stephanie? I'm okay. I'm good. But I'm trying to stop doing that. You know what I mean? I'm trying to stop pretending that I'm good all the time because I'm not. Nobody's good all the time. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I don't want nobody going around pitiful Stephanie. You know what I'm saying? I can't stand that. You know, but anyway, I'm going to let my caller in. I think I've talked enough. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Steph? How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. And I just felt like I needed to share that to get it off of my chest, because it's been really, you know, I'm not thinking straight. I'm not doing things that I'm supposed to do. It's just like I feel like everything has been put on hold, you know, and I kind of get back into life and get back into doing what it is that I was doing.
Yeah, life is for the living, and life is your most precious asset. It's life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that's the point. When you trying to cross, listen, understand something. Death is the next step. That's beyond any of our control. None of us can control that. Okay? And when you focus the time on this planet that we have, because none of us know how much time we have, none of us know how long we're going to live, how we're going to our demise, none of us know that, our date of expiration. But when we focus on the important things, is your most precious asset is your life. Okay? That's your most valuable and most precious asset is your life. Death is something that's going to happen to each and every one of us, and when it happens to us, there's nothing we could do about it. There's nothing and you know something? We don't know it. We ain't going to know anything about it. So there's no point of, oh, man, I'm missing this, and I'm, you know.
It's like I'm feeling now what I think I'm going to be feeling.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Like that.
Yeah,
it's
what I would be
like
feeling
that.
If I could feel.
Yeah.
You know, so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are gone. Those are here. Those are of our life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beautiful part about life is we get to enjoy. See, that's what what's really important about focusing yourself on your life. You have the precious things of life. You have children. You have grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? That's part of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what goes on even when you leave here. That still goes on. So you have left me. I didn't have any children. Okay? I mean, I have a lot of nieces and nephews and, you know, family members and stuff. But, you know, brothers and sisters and stuff. But I don't have any offspring. And, you know, you have a part of you that continues on. And you know, and that's the things you need to focus on. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you, oh, look, don't worry, be happy. what I'm saying to you is this wonderful thing called life that you have, appreciate it, embrace it, okay? Don't take on death. Death is not here for you. That's not for you to do. That's not, it's not your, it's nothing you could do. It's not, if we could stop it, everybody would stop. See, I always say death is a great equalizer. Death don't care who you are. Death don't care how rich, how poor, how famous, how, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. I mean, but what I'm saying is, it's just focus on life. Life is something you have to embrace it. Every time your eyes open, embrace this wonderful thing called life. Yes, there are going to be moments of your day that you may have these gloomy thoughts that come across your head. But I'm going to tell you something. When you build up enough positive thoughts, even those gloomy thoughts can't take you down. See, you need to build up an arsenal of positivity within yourself. Build up an arsenal of positive thinking within yourself. And all of those gloomy thoughts that try to bring you down, it's not going to happen. You know? Life is too big. Life is too great. You have already, I mean, you've done so much. Just look back and appreciate the things that you have. Okay? You're going through some things. Yes, absolutely. But the fear, false evidence assumed real. Remember that. Don't ever fold. Don't feed into that. Don't fold into that.
I'm trying,
thinking,
Don. I'm trying not. I'm trying not to, but, you know, when the new things hit you, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm like I'm in a ring.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in a boxing ring, and it's just like pop, 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 pop.
Yes.
You pull yourself together, and here come another barrage of punches. You know.
Cool. Yes, I get it. I get it. I understand totally. But that's why I said it's so important that you embrace the wonderful things on your life. Okay? Because when you start thinking about the end, it takes you down even further, and it takes you before your time.
Right, right. Because you start getting all down and depressed,
and you start
before,
getting depressed, and you start. Now you're missing out on all of the things that are right in your face. It's right. Everything that see. I always say it always starts when your eyes open in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That is the new day. That is the beginning of a brand new day. We can't count tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't here yet. But we know, and yesterday is behind us, so we can only think about the present now, today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we have to focus on each day of our lives. Embrace it. I was telling a young lady the other day in dialysis, right? Because, you know, I go to dialysis Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I was telling her, I said, look, I got to be on this machine for 4 hours. Because she was so just stressed out. Oh, the time is time. I said, listen, the time has got to pass regardless. The time has to pass whether you're miserable, whether you're sad, whether you're angry, frustrated, or you could just sit back and embrace it. And once you embrace the time, embrace that which you have, this wonderful asset called life. It's the most precious. Once you embrace that, I'm going to tell you something. It just opened up a whole nother world for you. It's like, wait a minute, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking about, you know, dying when there's so much living to do? Life is for the living. Okay.
Now we have. I'm sorry, I've got two callers on. One is Tyson, so I'm going to let the other caller in. And not that we don't love you, Tyson, but I'm going to let the other caller in and see if she has anything to say. Hey, Sasha, how you doing?
Good. What is true because a lot of people I have met with MS are so down. And I say, you better enjoy what you have.
Yes.
Because nothing is promised.
Yes. Yes.
You're right.
But while we're here, make the best.
Yes.
So people can say, look at her. She can be miserable as hell.
Yes.
But she cherishes every second.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Indeed.
So that's something we can't forget.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's you know, like you were saying, yesterday is gone. You know, you can sit there and you can cry over what used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or what you don't have or whatever. Or you can make the most of the moments that you do.
Yes.
That you do have. You know what I mean?
And if
somebody told you have a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody told you had a year left, are you going to cry for the whole year? Or are you going to do
right.
what the hell you going
to
cram?
Live it to the fullest.
Or live
it to
right.
the fullest.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So,
yes.
You know, with that, I'm going to, we only have a couple of minutes left. We have 2 minutes left to the show, and I want to say thank you guys for letting me express the things that I, you know, for letting this be a place where I could come and
well,
be afraid if
sharing,
I need to be afraid.
You know, I want to thank you for sharing, most of all, for sharing, you know. Appreciate
no
it's
problem.
So personal, and I appreciate it, and I'm sure a whole lot of others out there that are listening appreciate
mm-hmm.
it as well.
I mean, we hold a lot in. You know, we hold
yeah.
a lot in.
Yeah.
And that holding that
sure.
those things in, those things are like poison sometimes
yeah.
when you hold it in. You know
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? So,
Indeed.
I noticed that, you know, I've been feeling very negative lately. And that's not me. You know, that's not me. That's not how I usually am. So, you know, I got to let this out. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
That's
and
big.
So... With that, I'm going to remind everybody every Monday, 6 p.m. Next Monday, I think. No, not next Monday. Next Monday is what?
That's
it's
the 4th of July.
July.
That's the 4th
it is
July.
The 4th of July.
Absolutely.
So we're going to skip next Monday and July 11th. We're going to do Guy Talk on July 11th and on the 18th, Girl Talk. So it's no show on July 4th, but I want you guys to have a safe July 4th and an enjoyable July 4th. And I love you guys so, so much. Thank you so much. Love
and
you
we love
Tyson.
You too now.
and I will see you guys on the 11th.
Yes, indeed.
Take
bye-bye,
care.
Guys.
Take care.
All righty.
Bye-bye.